Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He's speaking to us from Arizona. Welcome back to the show, Mark, and best of the season.
Best of the season to you too, Jim. Thanks for having me back.
Do we have a special offer for our listeners?
Let's do our special 50% off at VRTrader.com. And you go to VRTrader.com and pick one of many newsletters that we have up on the screen. And if you enter the promo code 2022, half off, in any of the order forms, that's a promo code slot for that. You get 50% off of any subscription for any time frame you select. That's VRTrader.com, and again, the promo code is 2022, half off.
What kind of newsletters do you offer?
Well, we have a bunch. Many enjoy our metals resource letter because there's a lot of gold bugs out there, but we also cover, you know, oil in there, you know, radium, you know, lithium, you know, alternate energy. So it's the resource, metals, power, all kinds of stuff in that letter. We have our cannabis letter. We're still producing that. We've had a little bit of a bounce here starting in some of the cannabis stocks. Maybe it's what they call the January effect, you know, stocks that have been, you know, blasted to the downside, oversold, tend to have a rally into the first quarter of the following year. So maybe that's part and parcel to it. But you never know. There could be legislative changes that could turn many of these around, some of which are, by the way, very profitable, despite the fact that some of the stocks are down in the U.S. cannabis sphere, for example. And we have our blockchain letter, which is hot. A lot of people interested in that, particularly with Bitcoin going up and Ethereum and XRP and Coinbase, the public company that is a platform for many of these. And that's an exciting opportunity. We have our book up there, the Trader's Book of Volume, which is really a unique product covering all the major volume indicators in the stock market. And, of course, my volume reversal, which is what VR stands for, is part of that. And we have our Platinum letter, which is our general overall letter covering all the major markets. So you have a few to choose from.
Mark, also, are you a financial advisor?
No, I'm glad you brought that up. I am not a financial advisor, nor do I provide financial advice. Yeah, it's a good disclaimer, considering that I'm a newsletter publisher. You know, we used to manage money years ago, back around 2006-07. I was involved with a hedge fund here in Arizona where we actually shorted REITs, real estate investment trusts, as a hedge against physical real estate, which was a perfect synergy at the time, since real estate did fall apart at that time and the shorts and the REITs dropped, so we were able to make money. But unfortunately, the crash was so severe in 2008-09 that the company that actually was behind the whole product collapsed from the physical real estate that they owned. So even though we were short the REITs, it was not enough to offset that, but it was an interesting life experience at the time.
How would you describe what's happening on the stock markets right now, and what do you think this is going to lead to in the new year?
Well, you have so many cross currents out there. I mean, on a fundamental basis, in terms of world news, geopolitics, interest rates, central bank activity, there's so many things going on. You would think that, you know, the powers that be would try to keep the market going as long as possible, particularly with a election coming up here in the U.S. Later in the year. A lot of it, in terms of a cyclical forecast, depends on the January barometer. I've talked about that on the show many times, which worked out here this year. which said, you know, you look at the first 5 days of the trading year and see if they're up, and the whole month is up, and this is compared to the December close in the S&P. You know, it was about a 70% correlation. The whole year could be up or down. And, of course, you can have a lot of zigzags along the way, but it's an interesting tool. It's not one that I invented. It was invented by Yale Hirsch back in the 1970s. So we're going to watch that one and see what's cooking there. Right now, you know, we've intersected the no one talks about this on the national news, but we've intersected the winter solstice, which is due here. The end and has passed here, the end of December. And many times around the seasonal patterns, whether it's the vernal equinox or the summer solstice or whatever, you tend to get markets change direction around those times. So we're right in that time frame now. So the fact we're rallied to new highs here right at the time of the solstice, it says to me this is just one of many indicators that we might be due for a change in the opposite direction. I keep remembering the vernal equinox in March, where in many instances we have lows in the market around that time. So, you know, maybe we'll see a scenario where solar effects here, you know, interesting pattern might tie in with a pullback sometime here in the first quarter. And you know, we're going to watch our technical indicators. You know, everybody's excited about the bond market rallying, which could be a manipulation too, but you could also say it's the free market. That's a good sign that everything is great and the Fed's going to lower rates, and that seems to be the focus what just about everybody in the street is talking about. But in any event, you know, that's just one piece of the puzzle, and it could be temporary. And there actually is some history that goes back and says that when the Fed starts to lower rates, it's actually a time when the stock market could drop, and they've lowered it because of some external event or outlier event. And they have to act quickly to, you know, support the markets and the financial community, and they lower rates. So an actual decline in rates may not necessarily just be in a normal environment. It might be a reaction to some external, you know, black swan event or other negative event out there. So we'll see how that pans out. But all the polls and odds are betting that there's going to be several rate cuts. And for some reason, this seems to be the answer to the financial world's problems. Yeah. And there's so many out there, including the size of the debt and the spending and the deterioration of the currencies, particularly the U.S. dollar, which has been dropping, the effect of a potential competing currency supported by the BRIC nations. I mean, there's so many other variables out there, not even mentioning the wars and potential wars that are occurring, that it's really laughable when you think about it, that we focus on, oh, gee, rates are coming down, everything's going to be fine. I mean, you know, what if we have another Pearl Harbor or some other outlier event that suddenly changes things dramatically? So, you know, you just got to keep your antenna up there and just watching all the indicators. The bottom line for me here, I'm cautious here. We've had a big run in the market. We've had these seasonality factors. We have, you know, we're going to watch to see what the market does in January, the risk of maybe something into the first quarter to the downside, and at least the way I analyze things, and we'll take it from there. But, you know, my website's VR Trader. So I'm not a long-term investor. You know, we don't take a viewpoint that, hey, you know, you buy this or sell this and you stick with it for any great length of time. There could be some exceptions. We could say, for example, that, you know, uranium looked good, which it did, but we still traded, you know, a couple of the uranium names. You know, we may say gold looks good, but we could be in and out of gold stocks or physical gold itself. We've seen, you know, big swings in gold here in the past year and a half, 2 years, you know, $300-$400 in either direction. So, you know, there's always opportunities on both sides. And, you know, if we love a particular stock company, it still has its ups and downs, and there's tradable opportunities. So very rarely do I stick with something for any great length of time. I'd rather, quote unquote, ring the register, which is the way I was trained decades ago when I was a floor trader in Chicago. You know, basically, this is a way to make a living. You can pull money out of the market. Doesn't have to be daily, but as often as possible, put it in your pocket and don't subject yourself to the risk that, you know, suddenly there's a 30, 40, or 50% downturn and you're waiting to get even at some later point in time. So meanwhile, it should be interesting here in the next 3 months how the market unfolds. And I'm more in the black swan outlier event camp. I just have a feeling that there's some surprise coming, and hopefully it's not catastrophic to mankind, like a nuclear accident or something like that. But we did have COVID in 2000, and that took the markets down substantially. And there could be some, I feel that some surprises are on the horizon, just my intuition.
What's going on with the gold market?
Well, the gold itself, on a closing basis, made a new high this past week. It didn't take out that 2157 high that we saw a couple, 3 weeks ago. It's encouraging. I don't know. I just think with what's going on, the state of the world, the uncertainty, conflicts, military conflicts, the vocalization of what the BRIC nations want to do, the fact that China and Russia are trying to execute trades away from the U.S. dollar. I just think, that the fact that central banks, have been accumulating gold, which I'm trying to take out of the equation, the manipulation that occurs in the gold market itself with the futures and so forth, which might be foolish, but if I can take that out, it seemed to me gold should find more buyers in the months and years ahead. And the fact that it stabilized here in recent weeks in the 2000 level plus, I think is encouraging. So I think the least force of resistance is up. I don't know how high is high. It depends on how aggressive other nations are and what the state of the U.S. dollar is as time goes forward here. But I think having it and holding it is good. Now, whether you want to be in gold itself or the shares is a whole other question. The shares have been underperforming. Some feel they will catch up. Perhaps they will. There could be other factors affecting shares, like the price of crude oil and the cost of labor and supply chain issues and other things that could, and strikes. For example, Newmont Mining had some issues this past year. That could affect the companies themselves, regardless of the price of the metal. So I think my comment would be more about owning the physical metal than necessarily the shares, though. We do trade those as well.
What's happening with crude?
Crude's correcting here a little bit. I'm really taking it a day at a time there. I'm a bull overall because I feel there's going to be huge demand for crude oil, particularly if there's some type of outlier event. And we've seen already what's happened in the Red Sea with the diversion of the ships because of the Houthis attacks on some of the ships there. And the offset is, do we have a change of administration here in the U.S., which is pro-energy, someone, not necessarily Donald Trump, but someone that wants to reopen the spigots and not shut down leases and encourage the production and self-sufficiency of oil here in North America. And if that happens and we get a change of politics here, that the spigots are turned on, that could suppress the price of crude a bit, at least temporarily. So it should be interesting in the next 6 to 12 months how politics plays out. And that could be an issue for crude. So we just have to watch everything. The charts at the moment are in a little bit of a correction, and we'll just have to see how that plays out into the next year. I'm like I say, more fundamentally bullish because I feel so many people are bearish on it, and most of the world still depends on crude oil. I mean, just look at all the stories, as I just mentioned, regarding the blockages in the Red Sea and so forth. I mean, so much of the world still depends on it. And we don't know if the Saudis are going to cut back production and try to jack up prices or not. So, a lot of variables suggest that it could go really either way, even though big picture, I'm, again, more of a bull. But, if things really open up here politically and there is more production, that could put a damper on the price of crude. So next 6 to 12 months should be real interesting. And along the way, hopefully we get some trading opportunities.
Anything happening with uranium?
It had a little bit of a blow off here temporarily. I was looking at the charts the other day, even said a big name like Cameco. It seems like it it, you know, everybody got bullish and it got overdone, but you can argue that for the overall market too, that it just, you know, got pushed so far, too much optimism, too far, too fast. But fundamentally, I think uranium has a real strong case, as we already know already, because of the need for alternate power. And there have been more demands now on nuclear energy being produced. So, you know, everything is tradable, Jim. You know, if things go too far, too fast, stocks go up. I mean, Cameco was single digits, and next thing you know, it's near $50 a share. So, you know, things, you know, go too far, too fast. We saw that in Bitcoin, you know, up and down, and you know, the cryptos. So my gut feeling is it probably got overdone here short term, just like the overall market. I wouldn't be chasing it right here. On a correction, I'd look at some of the uranium stocks, but yeah, that's sort of my reading of the charts here. But overall bullish, just like I am crude oil, but we got to time it because these markets really have their swings, and nothing to me is a long-term buy and hold. I just don't go that way. And even with gold, I think you just have too many swings and too many trading opportunities. So I don't really sit and hold anything, you know, quote-unquote long-term. I guess the only thing you're in long-term is your home. If you live in a house, you own it. you're stuck because you're not trading your house. But, you know, I really don't have a long-term view on uranium or crude oil other than I think they probably overall go up. But, you know, you got to trade them.
We'll have more with Mark Leibovit right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mark Leibovit. What kind of action are you seeing on the crypto front?
Well, we're getting, you know, still a lot of action there. You know, the Bitcoin enthusiasts are, you know, pounding the table about the potential approval from the Securities and Exchange Commission on the Bitcoin ETF from BlackRock. And Bitcoin Trust itself, which is still a trust that GBTC hasn't converted yet to an ETF, but I guess there's still hope that's going to happen. This is the same comment I just made about the other markets. I mean, the GBTC, though I love Bitcoin, and we know BlackRock and Mr. Fink, Larry Fink, you know, are behind that ETF, and overall it will create continued demand for that once that ETF is imposed and starts trading. You know, everything trades around. I mean, this Bitcoin Trust, it was $58 a share, got down about 8, you know, rallied to about 37, 38. Now it's around 35. It swings around. It's tradable. You know, if you ask me, should I hold it long term? I would say, you know, what's long term? I mean, you know, it depends how much of a profit you want. And are you willing to tolerate a big correction like we've seen in Bitcoin already occur, which could happen, or the registration for the ETF could get delayed? I believe long-term, you know, Bitcoin is a part of the future. I know Charlie Munger over at Berkshire Hathaway hated it. He compared it to rat poison in one of the interviews. Of course, I think he was talking about crypto entirely, not just Bitcoin itself. Like anything else, it's tradable. I would say if tomorrow the ETF got approved, there'd probably be a lot of trading opportunities. It'd probably rally for a while, go a little higher, and you can trade it. Will it continue to go up steadily forever? No. It'll have its corrections. So I like it. I watch it. It's in our model portfolio. Something that I think, you know, makes sense. But it will have its swing. So I'm still a supporter of it because of momentum. Another thing to consider is if interest rates do continue down, whether it's a, you know, market dictating lower rates or whether the Fed actually does it. You know, lower rates entice more speculation and actually help the crypto market. So it could be a good year if rates do continue down for whatever reason, just in terms of stimulating speculation in the cryptos.
On the geocosmic front, they're predicting a lot of solar storms and activity this year. Is that going to affect the commercial markets?
I'm sure it will, you know, and if it's really serious, you know, we always joke about the Carrington event or something like that. You know, we've had the other geocosmic events going on, like the volcano in Iceland, and, you know, we talked about this, not a little jokingly, but, you know, what the worst year to be alive, what was it, 536, where the Icelandic volcano blew up and the whole Earth went into a nuclear winter for a year. I mean, you know, the power of nature, whether it's a solar flare, you know, which are increasing. You're right. That's what the reports are saying, and how that would affect our, you know, electronics that are flying around the planet and on Earth. You know, the question is, do you need to carry Faraday bags around, you know, or Faraday cages that supposedly protect you from, you know, EMPs or solar flares or other things, but there are the risks out there. So, yeah, it should be an interesting year from that geocosmic perspective. But, yeah, you get one of those huge events. You get a super volcano go off. I mean, all bets are off. You can forget about wars on the planet. You can forget about interest rates. Suddenly Mother Nature takes over and everything else goes on the back burner. So, nothing we can do about it, Jim. When it happens, you know. So we'll just have to, hopefully it doesn't happen, but if it does and we have another year like 536 and a super volcano goes off, that changes everything fast. We just saw in recent years that volcano in Iceland, how they had to reroute airplane traffic because they couldn't, you know, pass through that part of the world with the pollution in the air and so forth and the particles in the air. So, we have to respect Mother Nature. She's always there.
Yeah, France and England sent their navies to help retrieve stranded tourists. Canada issued an official apology, even though we had nothing to do with it.
Really?
You know, Canadians always saying sorry. Mark, thank you so much for chatting with us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
My guest has been Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He was speaking to us from Arizona. If you have any questions for Mark or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.